हरि सदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so this is still lesson 16, which is such incarnations of Godhead are innumerable, but they are not created by man-made ideas. They are all described in the scriptures, such as the Vedas, Puranas, etc. Okay. So that's continuing that Krishna himself comes, or his plenary portion, to keep the order of the universe. 4, 6 through 8. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I must appear millennium after millennium. Right, so here's you're delivering the pious from the disturbances that are created by the miscreants. Then you're in the same way as the miscreants are being corrected, right? But that being done, that's just an element of justice. Then you have to actually establish the proper way of behaving, right? Because it's one thing people say, well, we came up and we told them, you know, this was wrong, this, that, blah, and so we've set the situation straight. That's the justice side of it. But what about the education side? What about establishing the proper behavior? Does that make sense? So there's two parts. Right? You need to correct the situation, but then how is the situation supposed to be dealt with so it does work properly, right? So that will be then the training, you know, or in some way organization and everything to make sure that it runs properly. Right. Does that make sense?
Hmm.
Right. So then Krishna is always doing this, right? Because from the platform of Artha, you just want justice, right? Because then you go on with your prosperity. But the point is Artha comes from Dharma, right? So if Dharma is not properly followed, then Artha is going to stop at some point. In other words, Artha may be going on, but that's just momentum from previous proper activity. When that momentum runs out, there won't be any more, because Artha itself can't produce Artha. Does that make sense?
So it's
just like, I go into the kitchen, there's already some produce there. I can take it and I can cook it. But if I don't go out and market, there is no produce for me. So I can say, hey, no, I got preparations here. What is all this marketing business? And all marketing doesn't really do cooking, does it? If you go to the market and you bring some stuff, is that cooking? No. So then why means business is business. I do business, I get profit. But what they forget is that they're only doing business with what facilities is produced by Dharma. Right? Because Dharma is there, they're taking their pious credits and turning that into a profit. They could turn it into going to the heavenly planets, turn it into sense gratification, turn it into moksha, turn it into devotion. You know, you can do whatever you want with it. You go to the market, you buy the potatoes. Now you can cook it for Krishna. You can cook it in a renounced mood like that. You can do it for, you know, the extended family. You can just cook for yourself. But the point is it's all based on Dharma. So that's why Dharma is the central point of human activity. Right? It's actually the central of everything, because an animal acts according to its dharma. It doesn't do something separate from its dharma. So the only ones in the whole universe that don't necessarily follow their dharma are humans. They're given the choice. The others just do it because that's the way it is. You know, it's not like the tree, you know, like that, and it comes by, and you know, you come up, and it's hot. You sit under the tree, and the tree kind of like, you know, moves the branches so the sun comes on you, and like that, you know, like that, and then you hear this little kind of chuckle, you know, like, get up, move over there, and moves it over. You know, it doesn't do that. You know, you go to pick the apple, and the branch moves up. You know, and then when you get frustrated, drops an apple on your head. You know, who knows? Maybe that's what he did to Newton, right? You know, maybe that's what actually happened, but he's not talking about it. He's still, still, you know, taking therapy over that. Right? You know, so. Okay, so the point is that the Dharma is the natural state of endeavor of the human being, and it gives results that can be used in any direction. So another, does that make sense? So dharma is the central aspect of Abhideya. Does that make sense? Right? So it's actually what produces results. Then you can further do something. Does that make sense? You know, like that. You know, it's like you have the potatoes, you cook them into the sabji, or, you know, you put the little ears and nose on them and the feet, you know, you got Mr. Potato Head. You know, all these different things you could do, right? You have Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head? Huh? You never had Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head?
No, but we know of it.
Oh, you know of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Back when people were a little less sane. Or at least their insanity was more innocent. Yeah. The Lord appears in order to reciprocate with his devotees. As far no, so now you establish religion. Now, if he's supposed to, he came to reciprocate with the devotees. But how do you reciprocate with the devotees? What's the platform of interaction? Just whimsical, whatever it'll be.
According to
rules.
Rules, because you want to know that I can do this. I can express a particular emotion or need, you know, through a particular form. Does that make sense? So, because otherwise, if I use the wrong form, you know, it won't work. You know, I go up to the, you know, the British guy with his umbrella and his briefcase and his bowler hat, and I say, "G'day, mate." You know, then he'll like, you know, "What's that?" You know, but if you go up to the, you know, the guy in the street in Australia, and they go, you know, "My dear sir, fine day today, isn't it?" You know, you just don't do that. You know what I'm saying? So you have a form that you know works. You know? So that's what Dharma establishes. That anything that you want to do, this is the way to do it. And it'll be human. You can do something else, but it's not necessarily human. You know? Does that make sense? Mm. You know, that's the. So for devotional service, then that's there. Because if everybody's following Dharma, it makes it very easy for devotees, because they're following Dharma to please Krishna. So if everyone's following Dharma, even if it's not for Krishna, at least Dharma's available. Mm. Does that make sense? Yeah. As far as the atheistic are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear as he is to destroy them, as he did with the demons Ravana and Kamsa. The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanquish demons. But the Lord especially descends to appease his unalloyed devotees, who are always harassed by the demoniac. The demon harasses the devotee, even though the latter may happen to be his kin. Although Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakashipu, he was nonetheless persecuted by his father. Although Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was the sister of Kamsa, she and her husband Vasudeva were persecuted only because Krishna was to be born of them. So Lord Krishna appeared primarily to deliver Devaki rather than kill Kamsa. But both were performed simultaneously. Therefore it is said here that to deliver the devotee and vanquish the demon miscreants, the Lord appears in different incarnations. Right, so he's come to deliver the devotee, to interact with the devotee, but in the process, the demon gets killed. Right, So he's actually come for the devotees. So then establishing Dharma is also for the devotees. Because the demon, even he follows Dharma, what will he get? Right? He follows Dharma, he'll get Artha. And then what will he do with Artha? Yeah, he'll use it for kama. He'll use it for just for sense gratification. No uplifting element. So the point is, he's not establishing Dharma for the demons. He hasn't come for the demons. He's come for the devotees. So the protecting the devotees and establishing Dharma helps the devotees. Right? In other words, he creates a safe environment and the tools with which the devotees therefore can interact with him and other devotees. Right? Then it works nicely. You know what I'm saying? Let's say the criminally minded, as long as they follow the basic rules of the society, they don't bother you. Right? You know, but if they don't, then it's a botheration for you. Therefore, that's why the rules have to be established. Right? So those who are following, then, you know, everything's peaceful. Yes?
So all the incarnations of Krishna are mentioned in the Veda?
Yes.
Any type of incarnation?
Yes, yes. It's just, it means in your main Puranas and major ones. But in small, like in the Nrisimha Purana, there's a half a page that talks about the mosquito avatar. The Lord came as a mosquito, you know, very nice, shiny, attractive mosquito. And all the demigods took the form of bees. And so then they would, you know, buzz around in a circle circumambulating the Lord. They did that for a few minutes and then everyone went home. That was the whole pastime. You know, so it's all there. That's the thing, is every species of life the Lord incarnates in, because he's the original of everything. Right? So he's there because the living entity wants to copy God. So, okay, God is a mosquito. Now you can copy God by being a mosquito. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. Just, there's a good chance that demigods won't come. Like that. Lesson 17. Sri Krishna appears himself once in a day of Brahma, the Lord of the universe. 8:17. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day, and as such also the duration of his night. Whenever and wherever there's a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. The Lord appears by his own will. The word Sri Jami is significant herein. Sri Jami cannot be used in the sense of creation, because according to the previous verse, there is no creation of the Lord's form of body, since all the forms are eternally existent. Therefore, Sri Jami means that the Lord manifests himself as he is. Although the Lord appears on schedule, namely at the end of the Dwapara Yuga of the 28th millennium of the 7th Manu in one day of Brahma, he has no obligation to adhere to such rules and regulations, because he is completely free to act in many ways at his will. He therefore appears by his own will whenever there is a predominance of irreligiosity and a disappearance of true religion. So he comes to establish everything nicely for the devotees. So it's not that he has to come, but he likes to come. Right? And so therefore there's normal times when he comes, because that's when it'll coincide with everything falling apart. Right? So that's, let me say, so that's why Kunti was fine with there being trouble, because if there's trouble, Krishna comes. Right? Does that make sense? Because generally we're talking about, oh, it's so much trouble and this and that, you know, Krishna could make it go away, why does he make it so difficult? Right? But then we're talking about just the trouble going away. What about Krishna? You know, what about him coming? No, we're not worried about that, just the trouble goes away. So that's why it's not as mature as, you know, we want to be absorbed in Krishna, you know, and be like that. Because then whether there's trouble or not, who cares? Kunti and the Pandavas didn't care that there was trouble. They're out in the forest because Krishna was there. So if we're Krishna conscious, then it doesn't really matter if there's problem or not. Right? So Krishna appears himself. Yes?
So this is in contrast to that Mataji who wanted to get the wood back on her head.
Yeah, yeah. Because then she removed the burden, so Krishna, you know, personally came, but then...
He didn't get the full benefit.
Yeah, didn't get as much benefit as one could, definitely could, from that situation. Okay, so that was impressive.
have a small question about the study guide.
About the study guide itself.
No. Just about one point about the vibhuti, actually.
The vibhuti.
I don't understand what is vibhuti.
Vibhuti. Where does it say vibhuti?
It was said in page 15, not 5.
15.
15,
I think it's is opulence. Vibhuti is opulence. So he's talking about, you know, his splendor is opulence. You know? So these are all the various vibhutis, means what makes it special. You know what I'm saying? Because God's in everything, but you could go on unlimitedly talking about that and not really, you know, move progress. It means if you're absorbed, that's fine. But people aren't going to catch it. What I'm saying is that, you know, on this rock, you know, there's a little jagged edge here, and that little edge is sharp. So that, but that sharpness itself, that's Krishna, that's his potency, right? So that's vibhuti. You know, but over here, that it's very smooth. So the smoothness is Krishna's vibhuti. But no one's not going to notice that so much. So therefore, he describes only that which is prominent. You know, immovable things, he's the Himalayas. He definitely wouldn't, because they might say, oh no, it's a mountain, yeah, we could bring in our machines and take it away. They wouldn't be able to take away the Himalayas. There's no question of moving that. You know, it's just not possible. You know, so things like that, or of lights is the sun. You have so many lights, you know, but nothing is as bright as the sun. So he's just giving where it's major, but the principle's the same. So even the smallest little thing, you know, it's still Krishna's potency. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Opulence and potency are the same.
Yeah, yeah. Opulence, potency. Yes.
And Maharaj, these different incarnations in every species of life, are they all eternal forms of the Lord?
Is that a problem?
Is it eternal mosquito form, eternal every...
Is there a problem if it's an eternal mosquito form?
No.
You know what I'm saying? So then? They're manifestations that he performs within the material pastimes. Because like in Vaikuntha, the one of the 24... Vishnumurtis is Nisringa, but he doesn't have the form of half man, half lion. You know, it's the regular standard four-arm form. You know, mood is there, but the form. So these variety of forms that generally you see are just within the material sphere. No, just like the manifestation of Arjuna, it's only within the material pastimes. It means they're not material, the pastimes, but within the material world. Lord's pastimes within the material world, right? Because in the spiritual world, then there's no that you don't have those, because there's no battle of Kurukshetra. So then, what's the need of, you know what I'm saying? So those are manifest here, but they're always going on. So then, you know, there's always, does that make sense? But there'll be an origin, you know, where he's the mood is from. You know what I'm saying?
Yesterday,
you
mentioned something about Lord Ramachandra's mood. I couldn't quite understand.
Ramachandra's mood.
Yeah, like Ramachandra asked a question about, you know, why Lord Ramachandra banished Sita to the
forest. Banished Sita. Okay.
I understood what you said. You mentioned something about his mood.
Means how much of the time is Ram actually with Sita? Huh? Right? 30,000. But during that time, then I think a good amount of that time Sita was in the forest. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't make sense. You know, in other words, he's tasting the separation in Swakya. Right? Krishna's tasting it in Parakya. So Chaitanya's tasting it in Parakya. Like that. You know, so that aspect is there. You know, but most we see incarnations, there is no separation. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
We've been going through two Prayojana sections now.
Well, this is Prayojana, but it also, we see, is that it is bringing out more on that aspect of Sambandha. Because when you're going through Dasamul, then after you've established the authority of Shastra, right, then you discuss Krishna and his various features. You know, as the origin of everything, the Lord of all opulence and the Lord of Rasa, right? So then, you're visiting that again, but by doing it now, we more appreciate, because we've gone through so much analysis before. Well, if it was just at that time, it would just be part of that preparation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it was...
That was basically the question.
Okay.
I mean, just the difference in the two...
Yeah. No, it's just more detail. But if you brought it in at that time, it might distract from... the natural flow of it. So therefore it's been put afterwards and probably didn't give it a number. So the actual analysis is those three. And then this is like a further, from what I can see, study of that. Yeah, that, or just so you know more about Krishna, go deeper about Krishna, because Krishna is the goal. You know, and if we identify as Krishna's service to start the process, then the more we understand about Krishna and the living entity, the better. Yes.
Can you explain about Sankarsana, Aniruddha, Pradyumna that you are using related to Sambandha, Vidhi, Prayogam, the desire, activity, form? How can you explain that?
But you have a specific question on that? Because, I mean, as far as I understood, you've been discussing that for the last 4 years. You know, I'm saying, what specifically do you mean?
I didn't understand, like, how you are using that.
It means you have Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. So you have relationship, process, and result. Now within Sambandha you have the field itself, you know, and the knowledge of that field. And then you have the inspiration gained from having that knowledge of the field. Right? So that includes what is the proper mood in dealing with that field. Right? So when that's there, then you start the process of then rasa can be tasted. So therefore now that is the dynamic aspect of relationship, Sambandha, right? So therefore, because you have the goal in mind and you're willing to perform the activity. So the activity is performed, it gets that result, so then it's tasted, right? So if Sankarshan is only on, you know, the level of knowledge, but it doesn't get to that element of inspiration, then technically it's just the aspect of Atmarama. You have that knowledge and so like that, but it's not dynamic. So even though somebody may perform the activity, if they're not inspired, then it doesn't have much there in human interaction to gain from it. Right? So that's why Sambandha has these two parts to be brought out. Right? Does that make sense? So that field is Sankarshan, because he establishes, like here it says, when I come to establish, you know, that's Sankarshan. I descend myself, in order to, like that, is that whenever there's a decline in religious practice, that kind of thing, to destroy the mystery, it's like, this is Sankarshan. Because that's the mood of Dhiroda. You come to remove the mysteries. Right? So, that's Sankarshan. Prajumna is what makes something attractive. So that's Cupid. Right? That's the second part of. Right? Because who's you have Sankarshan, then there's his expansion is Prajumna. And Prajumna, the connection is with Prayojana. Right? Because of your inspiration there, therefore you perform the activity. So that's Aniruddha. So Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, that's the natural flow. Yeah? Does that make sense? Yeah. Then you have Vasudev means is that Vasudev is the pastime itself. So all the elements of a field, of Sankarshan, of that inspiration and that goal, those are all combined, you know, for the pastime as Vasudeva. Right, so Vasudeva is the central feature. Does that make sense? Because the field is only for performing a pastime. You know, to get a goal, you have to perform a pastime. To perform a pastime, you have to be inspired to perform it. Does that make sense?
So can you say like Krishna says, I am taste of water. So the taste is the attractive element, so that is Prajumna.
The attractive element is Prajumna, that he is the taste. That's Sankarshan. That you want that taste, that's Aniruddha. That you actually taste, that's Vasudeva. So it just depends upon which aspect you're using. You know what I'm saying? Just like I perform an activity, I get money. Now if I perform the activity to get money, I call it fruta. I perform the activity, I get money, but it's not about getting the money, it's about performing the activity in a detached mood. I get jnana. I perform the activity, you know, with that knowledge of detachment, and I get the result for Krishna. It's called bhakti. You understand? So the formula, mechanics of it works in one way. It's not that it works in different ways for the different mentalities. It works in one way. But due to mentality is what kind of result you actually get from it. That's why it's not good enough that I just did the activity. See how mentality with which you did it.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jaya.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jaya.
Chaitanya Gaura Premanandini. Is anybody?